ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। వెల్కమ్ టు అవర్ భాగవత ప్రవాహ ఆన్లైన్ సెషన్స్ ఆన్ ది నైన్త్ క్యాంటో ఆఫ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం. ఇన్ ద లాస్ట్ టూ ఎపిసోడ్స్ వీ హ్యావ్ కవర్డ్ ది సన్ డైనెస్టీ డిస్క్రిప్షన్ అండ్ ఇన్ టుడేస్ ఎపిసోడ్ అండ్ టుమారోస్ ఎపిసోడ్ వీ విల్ కవర్ ది మూన్ డైనెస్టీ. సో ఇన్ ద సన్ డైనెస్టీ ద ప్రామినెంట్ కింగ్స్ వేర్ లార్డ్ రామచంద్ర, ఇక్ష్వాకు, సుద్యుమ్న, వైవస్వత్ మను హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ ఈస్ ద డైరెక్ట్ సన్ ఆఫ్ సన్ గాడ్ అండ్ అంబరీష్ మహారాజ్ మంధాత. And we have discussed all their stories. And in the Moon Dynasty, we have prominent kings like Pururava, Yayati, Rantidev, Dushmanta, and many others. So today we will discuss the stories of this Pururava and Parshuram, and many other smaller stories also. So the Moon Dynasty is described from the 14th chapter of this canto. And the Supreme Lord Garbhotaka Sai Vishnu gave birth to Brahma even without the assistance of Lakshmi. Thus, Brahma is the son of Garbhotaka Sai Vishnu. And Brahma's son is Atri. And Atri's son is Soma. And Soma is the moon god. And he is the origin of this moon dynasty. So, before even describing the Soma dynasty, the ancestors of Soma are being presented by Sukadeva Goswami. Then this Soma did a mistake. Soma is the moon god. He is one of the great devatas. And he is the in charge of all vegetation and trees. And because of his great administrative position in the universal government system, this Soma became very puffed up. He became proud and he became lusty, and he has kidnapped his guru's wife, and his guru is Brahaspati, and Brahaspati's wife is Tara, and Soma means the moon god has kidnapped Tara, and guru's wife has to be seen like a mother, she has to be worshipped like a mother, but this Soma or moon god developed lusty feelings towards Tara and he has forcefully kidnapped Tara. And Brahaspati went to Soma and told Soma, it's not appropriate on your part to kidnap my wife. Return my wife back. But Soma was not in a mood to return Tara back to Brahaspati. Although Brahaspati, being a Brahmana, being a guru, has to be respected, has to be worshipped. And he is coming and instructing and even requesting Soma to return Tara. But Soma was not doing it. And seeing that Brahaspati had a quarrel with this moon god, so Brahaspati's enemy, that is Sukracharya. Sukracharya was the guru of the demons and Brahaspati was the guru of the demigods. So naturally they had some enmity between themselves, and taking the advantage of this current situation where there was a conflict between between Soma, the moon god, and Brahaspati, Sukracharya took the side of Soma. So Sukracharya supported Soma, and because Sukracharya supported Soma, all the demons also supported Soma. So the moon god joined the demon's side and the side of Sukracharya, and Brahaspati was accompanied by Indra and all the other demigods, and even Shiva also joined Brahaspati. So there was a huge fight because of this one lady Tara. There was a huge fight between Soma's party and Brahaspati's party. Soma was supported by Sukracharya and all the demons, and Brahaspati was supported by Indra and all the demigods, and even Lord Shiva also. So in this way, there was a big fight, and Lord Brahma came there. So although Soma was advised by so many people, and even Brahaspati, his guru, directly instructed him, he was unable to give up Tara, then Brahma has to intervene. Brahma is the supreme personality within this universe. He is the greatest authority within this universe. And above him, only Supreme Lord Vishnu was there. So Brahma came and advised Soma it is not appropriate on your part to kidnap your guru's wife. And he chastised Soma in various ways, and then he made Soma give up Tara. Actually, Atrimuni had three sons. One is Dattatreya, second Soma, third is Durvasamuni. And Dattatreya was a partial expansion of Lord Vishnu, and Soma was a partial expansion of Brahma, and Durvasa was a partial expansion of Shiva. So thus Soma was born because of the benediction and prowess of Brahma. So now Soma had to submit to Brahma, and Brahma instructed Soma to return Tara back, and then Tara was given back to Brihaspati, and the fight stopped. But Tara was pregnant at that time, and Brihaspati demanded, who is the father of this child? So your womb is supposed to be impregnated by me, but looks like you have associated with the moon god. So you tell me exactly who is the child, and deliver the child immediately. And don't worry, I will not burn you to ashes. Because Tara was extremely afraid. My husband is so angry with me, he might burn me to ashes once I give birth to the child. But Brihaspati said, you should give birth to the child, and I will not cause any harm to you. Then she gave birth to the child, and the child was so effulgent, so beautiful, so intelligent. That's why he is called Buddha. The child was Buddha. And when the child was born, Brihaspati was attracted to the child, and he claimed that he is my son. And Soma also was attracted to the child, and he says that he is my son. So Soma and Brihaspati both started claiming that son. And Tara was asked, Brihaspati asked Tara, tell me, who is the father of this child? And out of shame, Tara could not speak anything. And even the child started speaking to Tara and said that, why are you hiding your mistake? What is the use of your shame and embarrassment? First tell me, reveal the truth to me. Then Tara was totally embarrassed and extremely ashamed that she could not speak a single word. Then again Brahma intervened, and Brahma told Tara. Brahma took Tara aside and asked confidentially, who exactly is the father of this child? And Tara admitted that the moon god is the father of this child. Then the moon god claimed this child named Buddha. So moon god's son is Buddha. And this Buddha married Ila. And who was Ila? Ila was the daughter of this Vaivasvatamanu. In the beginning of the ninth canto, right in the first episode, we have discussed that sun god had a son named Vaivasvatamanu. So sun god is also called Vivasvan, and Vivasvan's son is Vaivasvatamanu. And Vaivasvatamanu desired a son, but he received a daughter named Ila. And later, by Vasishtha Muni's prayers, that daughter was transformed into a son, and his name is Sudyumna. So Ila was born, and Ila was transformed into Sudyumna. And later Sudyumna entered Sukumara forest, and because of the influence of Sukumara's forest, and because of Lord Shiva's benediction to Parvati, that whoever enters Sukumara forest will become a female. So the Sudyumna became a female. Again he became Ila. And that Ila was married to Buddha. So Buddha was the son of moon god, and Ila was the daughter of Vaivasvatamanu. So this Buddha married Ila. And through their combination, Pururava was born. So Pururava was the son of Buddha. And this Pururava was very powerful, very handsome. And he was ruling the earthly planet. At that time, once Narada Muni went to the heavenly planets, and he started glorifying the qualities of Pururava. Then in the heaven, there is one damsel named Urvasi, and Urvasi heard the description of Pururava from Narada Muni, and she was so attracted to Pururava. And she desired to attain Pururava, and she came to earthly planet. And because of some curse upon Urvasi, so once Mitra and Varuna cursed Urvasi to develop some human tendencies, because she did some mistake. Then this Urvasi came to this earthly planet, and Pururava has seen her, and Pururava was spontaneously attracted to Urvasi, and Urvasi was also spontaneously attracted to Pururava, and she also heard his qualities from Narada Muni. So then Pururava went and proposed to this Urvasi, so can we live together? So can we marry? Then Urvasi said that, yes, it's my great fortune to have a husband like you. So we can marry, we can stay together, but I have three conditions. Number one, I have two lambs. So these two lambs are like my two sons. I am protecting them with great care and attention. So you also should protect my lambs very carefully. So that is the first condition that Urvasi has kept in front of Pururava. Pururava agreed. And second condition, Urvasi said that I eat only foods that are prepared in ghee. So then Pururava said, okay. The third condition of Urvasi was, I should never see you naked. So you should always see me by properly dressing yourself. I should never see you naked. Then Pururava said, okay. So all the three conditions kept by Urvasi were accepted by Pururava, and they started living together, and they enjoyed with each other in different spots in the entire world. And while they were enjoying like this in the earthly planet, in the heaven, Indra started feeling separation from Urvasi. Indra was missing Urvasi there. Then Indra told the Gandharvas, go and get back Urvasi. Without Urvasi, this heaven doesn't shine. So go and get back Urvasi. Then this Gandharvas had made a plan. Instead of directly going to Urvasi or calling her, or instead of going to Pururava and asking Pururava to release her, they came in the middle of the night and they have stolen the two lamps of Urvasi. Then they also illuminated the room with their bodily shine. Then Urvasi realized that her two lamps are gone and Pururava was sleeping there in the middle of the night. And then Urvasi started speaking very harshly to Pururava. He said that she rebuked him. I am living with a woman. My husband presents himself or describes himself to be a great hero, but he is lying there on the bed like an impotent person, like a eunuch. He is not taking care of my lamps. He has promised to protect my lamps in all circumstances. And now these two lamps who are like my sons only, they are gone. And he is just lying here. Then Pururava was so provoked and agitated by these words of Urvasi, and then he immediately got up. Actually, if someone else had said those words, then Pururava would have chopped off his head, because he is an emperor. How can somebody blaspheme a king? But Pururava was so attached to Urvasi, and Urvasi happens to be the source of sense gratification for Pururava. So because he became a very henpecked husband in the hands of Urvasi, he was even willing to hear her blasphemy and criticism and unkind words also. So Pururava just immediately took up his sword, and in the middle of the night, so he was not dressed properly also. So not realizing that he was naked, he took up his sword to attack the Gandharvas and reclaim the lambs. And Gandharvas, seeing that they saw that Pururava was coming towards them, and Gandharvas illuminated the entire room with their bodily, with their shine, with their effulgence, and they left the two lamps and they ran away. Then Pururava got these lamps and then brought the lamps back to Urvasi. But Urvasi again chastised Pururava, because Pururava appeared naked in front of Urvasi. And Urvasi said, you have violated my conditions. I told that I should never see you naked. But you have appeared without any dress in front of me. So I am just leaving you. So Urvasi just left Pururava, and then he went back to heaven. She went back to heavens. And Pururava was so obsessed with Urvasi. He was feeling so much of separation from Urvasi, and he was so attached on a physical plane. He was attached to the body of Urvasi, and then he was feeling so much of separation from Urvasi, and he became almost like a madman, although he was a great emperor. So this is the power of lust. So lust and intense material desire to enjoy the body of the opposite gender overwhelms even great emperors and kings also, and makes them very weak physically and emotionally, and the lust, that lusty desires will not allow a person to function in a proper manner. So Pururava became like a madman. So he was wandering here and there in separation from Urvasi. Then once Pururava met Urvasi at Kurukshetra. Then Pururava ran behind Urvasi and said, he requested her, "Why are you abandoning me? So my body, which is so strong, if it is not fit for your pleasure, this body is useless. This body is meant to be eaten by vultures and foxes. Then why did you abandon me? At least please sit with me and then speak to me." Then Urvasi was so surprised to see this obsession and infatuation and madness of Pururava. She said, "Oh Pururava, you are a great emperor, you are a king, you have a lot of responsibilities. Behave yourself. Why are you so obsessed? Why are you so infatuated with me? So people like me maintain relationships with so many other people, so many other men, and we are not trustworthy. So you are not supposed to be so attached to me like this." But although Urvasi gave good counseling to Pururava in this manner, but still Pururava could not give up his attachment to Urvasi. Then Urvasi said, "Okay, fine, I will come and spend one day with you in a year. So annually once we can meet." Then Pururava agreed, and for some years they started meeting with each other only once in a year, one day in a year, one night in a year. Then in this way Pururava had 6 sons through Urvasi, but Pururava was not completely satisfied. So he was not happy that he is not staying continuously with Urvasi and he is meeting her only once in a year. Then Pururava worshipped Gandharvas, and seeing the obsession of this Pururava because of his intense lust, Urvasi advised Pururava, "You can worship the Gandharvas and they can give me to you." Then Pururava performed a sacrifice and he worshipped the Gandharvas, and Gandharvas manifested in front of Pururava and offered him a beautiful woman. And Pururava immediately wanted to unite with her, and he took her aside and he realized that beautiful woman was not Urvasi. She is called Agnisthali, and Pururava abandoned her. So now Pururava is not generally lusty, he is lusty towards a specific person, Urvasi. He was so attached to Urvasi only. So lust can make one extremely weak hearted and lose all determination to achieve the real goal of life. So one who is obsessed with lust, so he will be deviated from his real goal of life and he will degrade himself more and more materially. So then Pururava again conducted another sacrifice to please the Supreme Lord, and eventually he went to the Gandharva's planet and associated with Urvasi and stayed with her happily, quote unquote. But the story does not end there. The 9th canto pastime will end here. But in the 11th canto, Lord Krishna directly tells Uddhava about the story of Pururava. So after Pururava went to the planet of Urvasi and stayed with her for a long time and enjoyed with her, despite such intense sense enjoyment with a heavenly damsel, Pururava was always dissatisfied. He was not happy. So he realized that obsession towards the opposite gender on a material plane is extremely detrimental for one's spiritual advancement. There is absolutely only frustration in such a sense gratificatory desire when it is undue. So Pururava realized his mistake and he regretted for his mistake, and he tried not to repeat that mistake, and he took shelter of the Supreme Lord and eventually perfected his life. So now there are so many stories even within Srimad Bhagavatam also, where we find that several exalted personalities are also, they also become victims of lust. We have seen the case of Saubharimuni in the 6th chapter of 9th canto. In the 14th chapter we are seeing the example of Pururava, and later we will see the episode of Yayati in the next episode. So there are so many personalities who became victims of lust at one stage of life, of their life, but their stories are also recorded in the pages of Bhagavatam to give us an instruction that if one becomes lusty, one only will be frustrated eventually and one will have to regret like Pururava or Saubhari Muni or Yayati in future. So seeing their examples, one should be very cautious not to become victims of lust. That's the message that we need to do, we need to take. So we should learn what not to do from great souls without offending them. Yes, Pururava was obsessed and infatuated with Urvasi, and later he regretted for it. That does not mean that we offend Pururava by criticizing him or blaspheming him. But we need to understand that ultimately he has taken shelter of Krishna and he has perfected his life by the process of devotional service. Same is the case with Saubhari Muni, same is the case with Yayati, and same is the case with many other personalities within Bhagavatam who have once committed some mistake in one phase of their life, but ultimately they surrendered to the Lord. So that's what makes them perfect. And we should learn what not to do from their previous activities, and we should also not miss to see their devotional qualities that they manifested at the end. So that's why their stories are recorded. Ultimately, our shelter is Bhakti Yoga. One who is obsessed with the opposite gender, especially one comes in contact with the opposite gender by first getting attracted through eyes. In the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when we were describing the story of Ajamil, so I mentioned the 10 stages in which Cupid affects. So first is Chakshuraga, attraction through eyes. The next is Chittasanga, intense attachment to the in the mind. Then Sankalpa, lot of determination to attain that association of opposite gender. So like that, there are different stages. Ultimately, it will lead to death. So like that, one can become very mad and shameless when one is too much attached to the opposite gender. And Pururava experienced that. But ultimately he realized in the 11th canto, 26th chapter, Krishna describes a song called Aila Gita. So Pururava was the son of Ila. That's why he is also called Aila. So there is Aila Gita, means the song of Pururava. So he sang a song in expressing his realizations after getting frustrated with Urvasi. So although I have such a high grade of sense enjoyment for a long time, I am not satisfied, because sense enjoyment will not satisfy anybody. The so-called satisfaction that one derives from sense enjoyment is so momentary and it's so temporary, and that too on a material plane, that cannot completely satisfy the person. And the complete satisfaction is derived only in the process of Bhakti Yoga. But still, when we are in the material bodies, we are affected by this material desires, especially lusty desires. So one has to take shelter of Krishna. If one is affected by the arrows of Cupid in this material world and get attracted to opposite gender, to protect oneself from the arrows of Cupid, we need to expose ourselves to the arrows of glances of the Supreme Lord that are released from the beautiful eyebrows of the Supreme Lord. So his glances are like arrows, the eyebrows are like bows. He has bow-shaped eyebrows. Hasam hare ravanata khila loka tivra shokashru sagara visoshana matyudharam sammohanaya rachitam nijamaya yasya bharumandalam nikrute makaradhvajasya. The Lord's smile can completely vanquish the ocean of lamentation that a conditioned soul has created with his tears due to his suffering in the material existence. So, conditioned soul undergoes the threefold miseries in this material world, and he sheds tears, creating an ocean of lamentation. That ocean of lamentation can be dried up with a drop of mercy. Krishna is called Kripa Sagara or Daya Sagara or Kripa Sindhu, Karuna Sindhu, means he is an ocean of compassion, ocean of mercy. So if you take a drop of that ocean of compassion, that drop of compassion is sufficient to dry up this ocean of lamentation. So to counteract lamentation, you need compassion. So a drop of compassion is sufficient to dry up this ocean of lamentation. Now, that is the first half of that sloka. Hasam harer, when the Lord benevolently smiles, ati udaram, His benevolent smile and merciful glances can release us from the bondage of lamentation. And his beautiful eyebrows, when we take darshan of the Lord's beautiful eyebrows, we will be protected from the charms of Cupid. We will not be affected by lust. So, but as long as material body is there, lust will affect to some degree or the other. Somebody is affected to a slight degree, somebody is affected to a great degree. But a spiritual seeker, someone who is aspiring to advance in spiritual life, he is supposed to tolerate that sensual urges. Shaknoti haiva yashodham praksari ravi mokshana kama krodhodbhavam vegam sayuktah sasukhi naraha. Now, shaknoti haiva yashodham. So this bodily urges of lust and anger will continue to exist in a person till the time of leaving body, prakshari ravimokshana. Till the time of giving up this material body, these urges of lust and anger are there. Kama krodha udbhavam vegam. The urges of kama and krodha are there, but one has to tolerate those urges. So, tolerance is tolerance of that urge and fervently praying to the Lord for protection. So, these are very much important to protect oneself from lust. And ultimately, Aila or Pururava has taken shelter of the Lord and protected himself from lust. So, we completed the 14th chapter. Now, we will enter the 15th chapter. The 15th chapter and the 16th chapter of this canto describe the glorious incarnation of the Supreme Lord as Parashurama. So, Pururava and Urvasi begot 6 sons. The names of 6 sons you can see in that chart. They are Ayu, Shrutayu, Satyayu, Raya, Vijaya and Jaya. And Vijaya, Vijaya's dynasty, Vijaya's lineage is so vast that in the lineage of Vijaya, there is a great king named Gadhi. And Gadhi's daughter is Satyavati. And Satyavati is a great princess. Once, a great sage named Ruchika came to Maharaj Gadhi and asked, "Can you please give your daughter in marriage to me? I want to marry your daughter Satyavati." Then, seeing that Ruchika is a very poor sage, Gadhi was not very much inclined to give her daughter Satyavati in marriage to Ruchika. Then, Gadhi kept a condition. "Okay, I will give my daughter in marriage to you if you get me 1,000 horses. And these 1,000 horses should have one black ear." So they should have, they are white horses with black ear. Then Ruchika understood, "Oh, he is not giving me his daughter because I am a poor Brahmana sage." So then Ruchika went to Varuna and he asked for the horses, and Varuna gave him horses, and Ruchika submitted these 1,000 horses to Gadhi as a dowry. Then Gadhi happily gave Satyavati to Ruchika. So, Ruchika and Satyavati started living happily. So, Satyavati happens to be a princess and Ruchika was a sage. He's a Brahmana. So, they lived. And once Satyavati and her mother both wanted sons. So, Satyavati was the daughter of Gadhi and Gadhi's wife and Ruchika's wife. Both of them wanted sons. So, then Ruchika, being a sage, he performed a sacrifice. And he gave sacrificial oblations to both his wife and his mother-in-law so that they can take these oblations and give birth to sons. And somehow, this Ruchika's wife and mother-in-law, they both exchanged the oblations. So, actually, Ruchika has invested Brahmatejas in the oblation that is meant for his wife, because his son is supposed to be a Brahmana. And Ruchika has invested Kshatra Tejas, the power of being Kshatriya, in the oblation of his mother-in-law, because she was the wife of a Kshatriya, Gadhi Maharaj. So, but they exchanged their oblations. Then this fact was known to Ruchika. And Ruchika told Satyavati, "My dear wife, I have invested Brahmatejas in your oblation, but you have given it to your mother. So, you will get a son with Kshatriya qualities, and your mother will get a son with Brahmana qualities. Then Satyavati became very upset, and then she became so morose, and she regretted for his mistake. Then seeing her regret, Ruchika said, okay, your son will not have Kshatriya qualities, but your grandson will have Kshatriya qualities. So then eventually this Renuka and Jamadagni gave birth to Ruchika and Satyavati gave birth to Jamadagni, and Jamadagni married Renuka and he gave birth to this Parashuram. So Jamadagni was Brahminical, but Jamadagni's son Parashuram was having Kshatriya tendencies. And on the other hand, this Maharaj Gadhi, Gadhi's son was Vishwamitra. We will discuss about Vishwamitra after some time. First, we will discuss about Parashuram. So, we have seen the lineage. Satyavati and Ruchika married, and then their son is Jamadagni. And Jamadagni married Ruchika, and his son is Parashuram. Now, we will discuss the story of Parashuram. So, there was a king named Kartavirya Arjuna. He was a great devotee of Dattatreya. He worshipped Dattatreya, and this Kartavirya Arjuna has 1,000 hands. You can see in that picture. So he was very powerful. Once he has blocked the flow of Narmada river with his 1,000 hands. So when he blocked this river, the river's flow was obstructed and it inundated the place of Ravana. Ravana was a powerful warrior and he was a great demon. So Ravana got into a dispute with Kartavirya Arjuna, and Kartavirya Arjuna arrested Ravana and punished Ravana also. So Kartavirya Arjuna was more powerful than even Ravana. So then once this Kartavirya Arjuna went to Jamadagni's ashram. So Jamadagni was a simple and humble Brahmana, the son of this Ruchika sage, son of Satyavati and Ruchika. So he was in a beautiful hermitage in the forest. And Kartavirya Arjuna, along with so many of his soldiers, went in the forest to hunt. And then he wanted some hospitality. He wanted to relax. And then he went to Jamadagni's ashram. Then Jamadagni received this king, because Jamadagni understood, oh, he is a great king and he has come to my ashram. I have to feed him sumptuously and I have to take care of all his needs. So Jamadagni gave such wonderful hospitality to Kartavirya Arjuna and all his soldiers also. Then Kartavirya Arjuna was extremely surprised. How can this humble sage give such a royal hospitality to me? He was treating me like very much befitting to my position as a king. So he is offering all kinds of facilities to me, although he is a simple Brahmana living in a hermitage. So then Kartavirya Arjuna asked, how can you arrange for such royal facilities for my sake? And Jamadagni replied to this Kartavirya Arjuna. He said that I have a cow named Kamadhenu, and this Kamadhenu cow gives whatever I need for my sacrifices and my regular Brahminical duties and oblations and other things that I am performing, my sadhana. So now that you have come, so this cow only has given me everything that I have arranged for you. So only because of this Kamadhenu cow, I am maintaining myself. So I am able to give hospitality in a very royal manner to a great king like you. Then this Kartavirya Arjuna, who was actually very sinful, he became attracted to this Kamadhenu cow. He asked Jamadagni, my dear Jamadagni, you are a simple sage. You don't have so many needs. You just have to do some sacrifice and some milk and all that. So you just give this Kamadhenu to me. I am a king. I need such a powerful cow with me. Then Jamadagni said, no, it's not appropriate on my part to give my Kamadhenu cow to you. So she is a cow and she is supposed to be with a Brahmana, and I am deriving all benefits from this Kamadhenu cow, and it's not proper on your part also to accept the property of a Brahmana. But Kartavirya Arjuna was so adamant. So Kartavirya Arjuna has stolen Kamadhenu cow from Jamadagni forcefully, although Jamadagni was not willing to offer that cow, and even Kamadhenu was also not willing to go along with Kartavirya Arjuna. He has forcefully stolen that cow. Then Jamadagni's son Parashuram became so angry. He took his parashu. Parashu means axe. So he took his axe and weapons, bow and arrow, and then he went to the kingdom of this Kartavirya Arjun, and he chased Kartavirya Arjun, and he chopped off the hands of Kartavirya Arjun, and he chopped off his head also, and he killed Kartavirya Arjun. Actually, the Supreme Lord is Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagadhitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. The Supreme Lord is very affectionate to the cows and the Brahmanas. He is Brahmanya Devaya and he is Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. Now this Kartavirya Arjun has offended cow and Brahmana both at once. So then how can the Supreme Lord in his incarnation as Parashuram tolerate such a heinous activity? How can somebody trouble a Brahmana? How can somebody trouble a cow? And how can such a person be in the position of being a king? So Parashuram just killed Kartavirya Arjun. He beheaded him. Then Parashuram came back to Jamadagni, and Jamadagni said, how can you kill a ruling monarch? A king is not meant to be killed. And we are Brahmanas, and we Brahmanas are supposed to exhibit some forgiveness. So when somebody causes some harm to us, we are supposed to exhibit some forgiveness, and we should not kill people. And that too, you should not kill a king. Killing a king, a monarch, is a great sin. So he said, he described about the quality of forgiveness in this beautiful shloka. Kshamaya rochate lakshmir brahmi shauri yatha prabha kshaminamasu bhagavams tushyate haririshwaraha kshamaya rochate lakshmi brahmi shauri yatha prabha. The brahmanas are endowed with the great wealth of forgiveness, and if one forgives wrongdoers or offenders, the Lord will be very extremely pleased with such people who have the quality of forgiveness. Tushyate Haririshwaraha, Lord Hari, the Supreme Lord Hari, will be very pleased with those people who are endowed with this wonderful quality of forgiveness. When we do some mistake, we expect to be forgiven. We expect to be heard. And when others also perform some mistakes, we ought to show similar kind of sensitivity towards others. It's the general case, right, for all spiritual seekers and especially the Brahmanas. So, Jamadagni has wonderfully spoken on the quality of forgiveness in front of Parashuram. And Jamadagni instructed Parashuram, so you should go for pilgrimage and you should atone for the sin that you have committed. So, go for pilgrimage for 1 year. Go to visit different holy places. Then Parashuram, following the instruction of his father, being so obedient to the father, he went to holy places for pilgrimage. So that completes the 15th chapter. Then we come to 16th chapter. In the 16th chapter, there is another beautiful incident that happened in Parashuram's case. So once Jamadagni's wife, Renuka, she was attracted to one scene where she actually went to fetch some water, and she saw one Gandharva like frolicking and playing in the waters with some apsaras. So she was momentarily attracted to that Gandharva's opulence, and then she was also seeing his chariot. The chariot attracted the attention of Renuka, and then she became little late in coming back. And Jamadagni understood with his power, he understood why Renuka has come late, why his wife has come late. Then Jamadagni understood that she was momentarily attracted to the opulence of Gandharva. Then Jamadagni instructed his sons. Jamadagni had many sons. He had 4 other sons also, apart from Parashuram. So Jamadagni instructed his sons to kill his wife, kill their mother. But they did not agree to this. So, how can we kill our mother? I cannot follow this instruction. Each of the sons said like that. Then Jamadagni called Parashuram. He instructed Parashuram, my dear Parashuram, your mother has done an offense, and your brothers also have done the offense of being disobedient to their father. You should kill all of them. Then, being obedient to his father's instruction, powerful Parashuram killed his mother and killed his brothers also. But when Jamadagni was pleased with the obedience of Parashuram, and Jamadagni asked Parashuram to take whatever he wants, then Parashuram requested Jamadagni, can you please revive the lives of my mother and brothers? And not only you should revive their lives, you should also make them forgetful of the incident that has happened. They should not remember that I have killed them. So when Parashuram requested Jamadagni like this, very intelligently, very cleverly, so he displayed his affection towards mother and brothers also. He displayed his intelligence also, and he also displayed his obedience towards his father also. So then Jamadagni was very impressed with the quality of Parashuram, and he revived the lives of both his wife and his other children, other sons. Then Parashuram was on a pilgrimage, and when Parashuram was away from Jamadagni's ashram, Kartaviryarjun's sons came to Jamadagni's ashram. So Parashuram killed Jamadagni, and Parashuram killed Kartaviryarjun, and so Kartaviryarjun's sons wanted to take revenge on Jamadagni. So because Parashuram killed their father, Kartaviryarjun's sons wanted to kill Parashuram's father. So Kartaviryarjun's sons came to Jamadagni's ashram, and although Jamadagni was a Brahmana, a sage, he was meditating on the Supreme Lord, this cruel, degraded sons of Kartaviryarjun just killed Parashuram, killed Jamadagni. And this fact was known to, this incident became known to Parashuram. So Parashuram went to Maheshmati kingdom, the kingdom of Kartaviryarjun. There he chopped off the heads of all the sons of Kartaviryarjun, and he actually made a pile of their heads, and he created a river of blood. So with his parashu, with his axe, he has chopped off all their bodies and all their heads. So Jamadagni actually did a sacrifice to revive the life of his father Jamadagni, and Parashuram killed all these sons of Kartaviryarjun because they are Kshatriyas, they had a lot of power, but they are misusing their power. So when Kshatriyas misuse their power and they perform atrocities towards cows and Brahmanas, the Supreme Lord cannot spare. Not only in the incarnation of Parashuram, so the Lord has exhibited this quality even in Krishna's incarnation also. In the 9th canto of Parashuram, we see Parashuram killing unscrupulous rulers and kings and protecting cows and Brahmanas, and Krishna also descends to kill such unscrupulous kings. So Krishna descended onto this planet to teach a lesson and to kill such miscreants who are tormenting righteous people. They were a burden on these demoniac rulers, are burdens on the surface of Mother Earth. So then Parashuram not only killed these sons of Kartaviryarjun in Maheshmati kingdom, he also killed the Kshatriyas, unscrupulous Kshatriyas, 21 times. So that is the story of Parashuram. Then, coming back to the lineage of Gadhi, so we were discussing the lineage of Gadhi. So Gadhi had a daughter named Satyavati, and Satyavati's son was Jamadagni, Jamadagni's son was Parashuram. So we have discussed all this, that line we have discussed. And Gadhi had a son named Vishwamitra. So we discussed earlier that Gadhi's wife took the oblations meant for her daughter. So her daughter was Satyavati. Satyavati was a Brahmana's wife, and Satyavati gave her oblations to her mother. So because of accepting oblations that are infested with Brahma Tejas, this Gadhi's wife gave birth to Vishwamitra. Although Vishwamitra was born as a Kshatriya, later he developed the qualities of a Brahmana, and he was accepted as a Brahmarshi. Then Vishwamitra had 101 sons, and he also accepted a son named Shunashepa in the sacrifice of Harishchandra that we have discussed in the previous episode. So like that, Vishwamitra had 101 sons plus this Shunashepa also. And to continue the lineage of Pururava, more. So we have discussed the lineage of Vijaya, one of the six sons of Pururava and Urvashi. There is another son for Pururava named Ayu. So Ayu had five sons. They are Nahusha, then Kshatravridha, and Raji, Ribha, and Anena. So these are the five sons of Ayu. And one of the sons of Ayu named Nahusha, he became Indra. When Indra was hiding in that lotus stem in Manas Sarovar, we discussed in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where we said that after killing Vritrasur, the sinful reaction of Indra changed him in the form of an old woman affected with tuberculosis. So, afraid of the sinful reaction, this Indra went inside the Manasarovar and he hid himself inside a lotus stem. So, at that time, there was no ruler for the heavenly planet. Then, Nahusha, the son of Ayu and the grandson of Pururava, he became the king there. But this Nahusha accepted the throne of Indra and he also demanded that, I want the wife of Indra also. So he offended wife of Indra with some unmentionable proposals. And then Indra's wife told him, you should come to me in a palanquin which is carried by the great sages. Then Nahusha not only offended Indra's wife, he later offended the sages also by asking them to carry his palanquin. Because he is Indra, he is the king of heavens, these sages were little obliged. But during that, when they were carrying this palanquin, Nahusha became extremely arrogant and he chastised this Agastya Rishi, and then Agastya cursed him to become a python. So, and Indra's wife actually knew this. So, basically Nahusha, because of his lust towards Indra's wife, he fell down from his position and he became a python. So, lust is such a heinous quality, and because of this lust, so many great kings and emperors also degraded from their positions. And there are other descendants of Ayu. So, this Kshatravridha gave birth to Dhanvantari. Dhanvantari is an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. He is the father of medical science. And also, there is another son named Raji. You can see in the chat. So, this Raji helped Indra to regain his heavenly planets. And Indra, being grateful to this Raji, he told that you have helped, he told Raji that you have helped me in my fight with the demons. So, I request you to be Indra and to, you only should rule the heaven. Then Raji ruled heaven for a while. And then when Raji departed, Raji's sons claimed heaven. Then Indra did not give them heaven. So, Indra somehow took back that heaven from this Raji's sons also. And there are other sons named Ribha and Anena. So, this is the dynasty of Pururava. And in this dynasty, there are many other personalities. So, we have discussed Pururava's dynasty or moon dynasty up to this point. And in the next episode, we will continue to describe this moon dynasty and the prominent personalities in the moon dynasty that are described in the later chapters were Yayati, Dushmanta, Rantideva and many others. We will discuss that in the next episode. Today, we prominently discussed Pururava's episode and Parashuram's episode and then few other smaller stories also of kings in the moon dynasty. So, tomorrow we will continue. Thank you all very much. Grantharaya Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.